Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord, and as the name suggests, the theme of the day and for the entire season is manifestation. For we remember, we reflect on, we rejoice in Jesus being manifest as the King of the Jews, as the Christ, as the Lord, as the Son of God. Throughout the history of the church, and even in our own time, various events are associated with the Epiphany. There is, for instance, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, where God calls him his son and anoints him with the Holy Spirit. There is the miracle at Cana, where he turns the water into wine and manifests his divine glory. But of course, for us, the event we most associate with the Epiphany is the arrival of these guys. Wise men, magi, magicians, astrologers from the East, Babylonians, Sumerians, who really knows? These guys. Somehow, they get into the story too. The festival of the Epiphany, the way that God manifested his Son in Jesus Christ, the way people came to know, and the people who came to know raises different questions. There is the question about these guys. That's a question about the story and about history. We're not going to worry about that today. What about you guys? What are you doing here? We might ask, what were they doing here? But today we'll wonder about what you are doing here. What was done? How was Christ manifest to you? Why? Now I know that each one of you has your own story. Your own story of how you came to be one of God's children, how you came to be a follower of Jesus Christ, how you came to be one of the redeemed and one of the saints. But there's also a bigger story, God's plan for the entire world. And Paul, in the reading that we have from Ephesians, shows us what that is. And we'll focus on that this morning. Now, when Paul writes, Paul is writing as a prisoner. He is writing as a prisoner because he has preached the gospel to the Gentiles. I, Paul, he says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles. But for Paul, being a prisoner is not in itself a problem. He is not bemoaning this fact, and he doesn't want anybody's sympathy. He doesn't want anyone to be discouraged. Why? Because what he has come to know and because what he has been given to do is worth it. It's worth living for, it is worth suffering for, it is worth dying for. So what was it that he came to know? Well, that's an insight into the mystery of Christ. The fact that the Gentiles, that the nations, that all people would be included in God's grace and blessing, well, that was a promise that God had made long ago. He made it to Abraham. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And he repeated that promise through the prophets, people like Isaiah. In your light, the Gentiles shall come. That, all nations, that, all people of the earth, would see his salvation and enjoy it. Well, that was known. But how the Gentiles would be included, how the Jews and the nations, how Israel and the non-Israelites would be joined together, that was not clear until the coming of Christ. Until he would come, until he would die, until he would rise again, until he would be exalted in the heavens. No, that mystery is only being revealed then to Paul and to the other apostles and prophets, to those first Christians. Now, why was this such a surprise? Why was this such an unexpected development? Well, the reason is, in a single word, the law. The law given at Sinai, the law of Moses, the Torah, was, as Paul puts it, a dividing wall of hostility. It was a line of demarcation between Jew and being God's people and Gentile and being an alien. It separated. It separated people of the earth. When Jesus came, Paul says, he broke down, he tore down, he brought down that wall. He eliminated that line of demarcation. He ended that separation. He did that in his flesh, Paul says. He abolished it in his flesh. And that's indeed what he did. When the gospel tells us how Jesus lived, how Jesus conducted his ministry, and it was not in strict obedience to the law. What did Jesus do? He admitted to working on the Sabbath. What did Jesus do? He let his disciples pluck grain and not wash their hands. What did Jesus do? He touched lepers and dead people. What did Jesus do? He hung around with sinners. He talked with Samaritans. He blessed a Canaanite woman. He hung around with Gentiles. Jesus' relationship to the law was not one of strict obedience, and he paid the price for it. As Paul would say in Galatians, you know, he became a curse. He was the curse of the law, and he suffered that way, dying on a cross, hanging on a tree. But God showed that Jesus was ending the law, that he was removing that dividing wall of hostility by raising him from the dead. In raising Jesus from the dead, God vindicated Jesus and all that he did and all that he said. And among the things that came to an end was the law and the way it separated Jews and Gentiles, Israelites and the nations. And Paul and the other apostles and those first Christians were working all of that out. See, to be a Christian did not mean to be a Jew and to follow the law. To be a Christian meant to follow Jesus Christ, to believe in him, and to follow what he said. And that was it. There were no longer Jews and Gentiles, but one people of God, one family under one God, devoted to one Lord, living according to one Spirit, baptized with just one baptism, one body, one family, one people, all in and through Jesus Christ. That was the insight into the mystery of Christ that Paul had received. And more than that, he had been given grace actually to participate in that work, in bringing Jews and Gentiles together as one body, as one people, as one family of God. That's how the Ephesians came to be God's people. That was how Paul got to have to sit in a prison. But that was worth it in Paul's view. Now, all of that was a long time ago. The distinction between Jews and Gentiles, the problems that Paul had to face, those are a long time in the past. This insight is no longer new. For a lot of us, it's just basically forgotten. But just because it's no longer new does not mean it's no longer good. Because that insight was shared, and that ministry was perpetuated. And one way or another, that gospel was preached to you. That good news was made to you. Those promises in Christ were made to you, and that's how you got here. Most of us here are not the physical descendants of Abraham. But in Christ and by the Spirit, we are all people of God. That's what was made known through Christ and his apostles. So, what now? Now that we are here, and now that we are his people, what now? Well, that's, of course, the whole of the Christian life, and I don't have time to review all of that. But being the festival of the Epiphany, I'll put it this way, be an Epiphany. What did Paul tell the Ephesians? Be imitators of God. be in epiphany. Walk in love as Christ loved us. Be in epiphany. Manifest the love of God through Jesus Christ. Be children of the light, not children of the darkness. Make that known. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, because you have been called to be children of God. You have been called to be heirs of God and heirs with Jesus Christ himself. Be that epiphany to the glory of God and as a faithful witness and a light to all people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.